number 570, Just As I Am Without One Plea, and number 559, Oh, How Great Is Your Compassion. Following the opening hymn, Pastor Samuel Morshing will lead the congregation in worship. The sermon theme is True Humility. The sermon text is Luke 18, 9 through 14. We take you now to the sanctuary of Peace Lutheran Church.
Good morning. Welcome to Peace Lutheran Church as we gather this morning in worship. There are a couple of announcements to make this morning at our service beginning. We have almost gotten to the mid of August, and that 15th is the day when we are asking that you have your parish registration turned in for our parish retreat at Camp Luther. So if you're interested in joining us at Camp Luther the 21st of September for a day of time at camp and being in God's Word, make sure you get that to the office by the 15th this month. And we know that, well, the 15th is going to be here soon, but so is the end of the month. Well, right, it's coming, and with that, the peaceful gathering. So if you are able on the 31st to join with other members and invite community members to that peaceful gathering meal, put that on your calendar for this month. Our service this morning, we are following Divine Service Setting 3, found on page 184 within the hymnal, and you can follow along either in the hymnal or on our screens this morning. We sing our opening hymn 686.
Oh,
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we, poor sinners, confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We speak responsively our introit. God is in his holy habitation.
He settles the solitary in the home.
The God of Israel, he is the one
who gives power and strength to his people.
God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered.
And those who hate him shall flee before him.
But the righteous shall be glad, they shall exult before God.
They shall be jubilant with joy.
O God, when you went out before your people,
in your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy.
Blessed be the Lord, who daily bears us up.
God is our salvation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
God is in his holy habitation.
He settles the solitary in a home.
The God of Israel, he is the one
who gives power and strength to his people.
Glory be to God on high, and on earth. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things that we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and meditation of Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
Today's Old Testament lesson is from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. Now Adam knew Eve was his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground, and now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read along with me the gradual.
In God my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help.
The epistle lesson for today is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And invite the congregation, please stand as you're able as we sing the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the gospel of the Lord. I invite you to speak with me the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated, and those children that are present are invited forward for a children's message at this time. Well, good morning, boys and girls. You can come a little closer. That would be okay. So, all right. Today we are gathered and we are in worship in God's house, right? Yes, we are in God's house. And God knows what you and I do, doesn't he? Yeah. In our Old Testament lesson, we heard about Cain and Abel. And was that a good story about brothers interacting with one another? No, it wasn't very good. Because what happened in the story of Cain and Abel? Cain does kill Abel, yes. Do you think God wants that to happen in families? No, God doesn't want that to happen in our families. God doesn't want that to happen outside of our families, right? What do we call it when somebody is killed? Is that we call it sin, right? Yeah, it's a sin. Did Cain try to hide the sin? Yeah, he tried to hide it. But can he hide, was he able to hide his sin from God? No. Do you guys sin? maybe you're not doing the killing, right? You're not killing, but do we still sin other ways? We all sin. Can we hide our sin from God? No. God sees all of our sins. Even if your moms and dads don't know what you've done, does God still know? Yeah, he does. And is there any way you can get rid of your sin? Is there any way you can hide it enough from God? No. Is there any way to get rid of your sin? No. But does God love you? Does God care about you? Yes. And did God send Jesus to die for your sins? And is that how your sins and my sins are erased by the blood of Jesus? That is how our sins are erased, by Jesus' blood. And so we thank God for sending Jesus to free us from our sins. The sins that even that he only knows about. It's good to have a Savior. I invite you at this time to say with me an echo prayer, thanking God for sending Jesus to save us from all the sins. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you know everything. Including all of my sins.
Including all of my sins.
Thank you for sending your son Jesus.
Thank you for sending your son Jesus.
To die and pay for all of my sins.
To die and pay for all of my sins.
And for giving me life through his name. And for giving me life through his name. Help me follow where my Savior leads.
Help me follow where my Savior leads.
We pray in Jesus' name.
We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I do have treats for those that have come up this morning. And our congregation has a different sort of treat this morning. We get to sing another hymn. Hymn 570. So, okay.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel lesson comes from chapter 18 in the Gospel of Luke. And Luke begins this chapter with Jesus pointing to those that would listen to God. And he tells them a parable encouraging them to pray and not to lose heart, to pray to God, our Heavenly Father. Prayer has you and me talking, yes, with God, our Heavenly Father, but as the Heavenly Father, he knows more than we do. He is able to do what you and I cannot do. He sees the outcome of our futures. He knows all, and he has the power to change that future for good. So when we are praying, we echo and follow the godly prayers recorded for us, prayers which Jesus prays. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Father, if you are willing, not my will, but yours be done. And why do we pray in this manner? By making a request and then leaving the outcome to the Lord? Isaiah chapter 29 provides insight for this approach when you and I pray to our Heavenly Father. It says, because this people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Jesus teaches us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because, yes, God is all-knowing and sees what you and I do not know, but he sees what is best for us. We may think that we know, but God is the true one to know all things. And so some people would pray to God, praying that he would give them the outcome that they desire rather than depend on him. So we pray and ask God for God's will to be done, because as wise as you and I are, we still fall in the category of the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning shall be hidden. As many degrees as you and I may hold, we do not have the wisdom of God. He is greater than us. God is God, and I am not. At times, it is quite easy for people to forget who God is and who they are in comparison, especially when we live in a time like the book of Judges describes. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. So no king, no one individual to unify all of them behind. So everyone does what they believe is correct. And how much does that sound like the society that you and I live in today? subjective truth, where you do what is right in the eyes of the beholder. That might be true for you, but I have my own truth. So yes, there's no king in Israel. Everyone does what's right in their own eyes. It may seem like freedom, but in reality, it's chaos and brokenness, because it's founded on the whims of humans and our sinful nature. Cain killed his brother out of jealousy and greed, and that continues today, following what the heart leads to. And that's been the problem with humanity from before the flood. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of their thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. The thoughts of our hearts continue to be evil, as God has seen. So when God does know your every intention of the thoughts of your heart, yes, he does. He knows when the people are drawing near with their mouth and honor him with their lips, while their hearts are far from him. When it comes to your salvation, you do not have the wisdom to get there. You are not self-sufficient. You are not enough on your own. You need the gifts that God gives. Jesus, he told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. He just told them to pray to God, to look to God for their needs, and yet there are those who's in his hearing believe themselves to be self-righteous, treating others with contempt. But that can often be the case when you are told to follow your heart, when you are told that you can do whatever you want, when you're told that anything is possible and you just need to work hard enough for it. That can be the mindset that you and I end up with. Just put a little more effort into it, and you'll make it. Yet the truth of the matter is very quickly overlooked and often easily dismissed. Jesus, he starts this parable with some very important words. Two men went up into the temple to pray. He's just exhorted them to pray, to trust in God. And so here we have two men doing that. But these words are more than just Jesus providing a setting for the events that follow. They start the truth of the reality that these men share. In the relationship between God and man, we often can speak about it and make reference to it as being a vertical relationship. How many of you heard about it? Vertical relationship, where man is here at the bottom and that leaves the top reserved for God. And so it's kind of an up and down relationship. Man at the bottom, God on top. And there are even physical ways to reinforce this idea. The temple is built at higher elevation than the rest of the city. So it says they had to go up to the temple. That is where they would pray. This idea, even, is why many churches and communities are often placed at higher elevations. Or when you enter into a church, there are stairs that lead up, right? And so I remember the cathedral in St. Paul. It sits above the city, even more prominent than the Capitol building dome. Can be easily mistaken for that, but it's set high up on the hill. When you are going to do things that are connected to God, who is greater than you are, who is above us, you go up. We find that often in the scripture. God is found on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses goes up onto Mount Sinai, for God is over and above his people. And how many, or which man in the parable that Jesus tells, needed to go up to the place where they were able to interact and pray with God? They both go up, right? It's not one versus the other, but both men are not equal to God. Both men start down and are lower than God. For no man, no woman, no child is equal to God. But there's a difference in appearances of these men. We're told that one is a Pharisee, a godly-looking person, and one is a tax collector. And, well, tax collectors are often those that are cheating others and are not living a life of holiness as prescribed in God's word. So we have one that seems and appears to be better than the other. And so they go up and they make their prayers to God. The tax collector, his prayer, however, seems to sound a little bit the way it should not, as though he is drawing near to God with their mouth and honoring him with their lips, while their heart is far from him. You can see where it may be far from him, where he stands by himself, praying thus. It starts out this way: God, I thank you that I'm not like him. But aren't you? Didn't you both have to come up to the temple? Are you both not sinners? Oh, I thank you that I'm not like him because I live a life that looks like it should. I tithe, I fast, I do all the right things. The tax collector, his prayer is very different. He doesn't talk about his accomplishments, his achievements, how good he is, but rather, he speaks the words of truth that God's scripture speaks about each one of us. The reason why we are at the bottom of that vertical relationship. He beats himself and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For that is what you and I are. That is certainly what the Pharisee is. We are all in need of God's salvation. Peter, who heard this parable, writes in his epistle, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." You and I are called to humble ourselves and to trust in God as he cares for us. And his care is shown in and through Jesus, the Son of God, who came into the world, lowered himself to take on humanity and what he had created. He lived as, and he died in our place for our sins, because we aren't able to do it. He did this because you needed him to do it for you. Your works aren't enough. We can't pray enough. We can't do enough fasting. We can't tithe enough to erase our sins. And all people on earth need Jesus to raise them up, to exalt us, to justify us before our Heavenly Father. And Jesus does that through his death when he is raised up upon the cross. He is lifted up for you and for me to see. And there we see his blood being shed to pay for all of our sins. Because you and I, we cannot do it. The true humility is for us to acknowledge that, yes, as we have said, I, the poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities. That is who God says we are, his word of truth. And so you and I echo back those words. Yes, we are sinners. We need a Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. We are not called to trust in ourselves, but we are called to trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to lead others to trust in him so that they might humble themselves, to know that every thought and every intention of my heart is tainted with sin. I need Jesus as my Savior. And having humbled yourself, you would find yourself exalted. Exalted not necessarily in this world, for there are still those that look down upon us for our beliefs, but rather exalted in the time when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will come and will put an end to sin, death, and the temptations of the devil. That day, all those who call upon Jesus as their Lord and Savior will be lifted up. They will be given life without sin, life without death, life forever with our Heavenly Father. The future for you, for me, and for all, the future comes in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we all need him as our Savior. We can't do it on our own. We are not enough. So humble yourselves before our Heavenly Father. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard our hearts and minds firmly in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. I invite you at this time to stand as we continue with the singing of the offertory. We acknowledge our Heavenly Father, and we look to return to Him those of which He has first given to us. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people, according to their needs. Be merciful to us, Heavenly Father, for daily we are tempted by Satan and daily we sin and transgress your will. For the sake of Christ Jesus and his bitter suffering and death upon the cross, forgive us, Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. Father, you alone are our dwelling place and have given us order, peace, and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the faith. Bless and guide our synod, its leaders, its organizations, and our congregation, that we may honor and follow you above all else. Keep us faithful to the end, even as you have preserved and strengthened us to this day. Lord, in your mercy, be merciful to all in need, especially children who lack food, clothing, and shelter, and all orphans in need of parents to care for them. Heavenly Father, provide earthly fathers, mothers, friends, and neighbors to care for them. Give us generosity to serve as agents of your mercy. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, give patience and endurance to all who are sick or in need, especially Rick, Glenn, Tracy, Linda, Doug, Gary, and Sue. Heal them according to your will. Receive our thanksgiving for every blessing and kindness you have shown to your people, and give comfort and hope to all who mourn. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the suffering and death of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom as you teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Be seated as we conclude by singing hymn 559.
The members of Peace Lutheran Church consider it a privilege to have you share in their service of worship. If you have no church home, we invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. If you are unable to attend our worship service in person, we invite you to join us again next week at this time. If you wish to sponsor a broadcast in memory of a loved one, call the church office at 715-762-4541. Peace offers live stream worship as well. On the YouTube channel, search for Peace Lutheran Church, Park Falls. You can also follow us on Facebook. If you would like to give an offering to God for His ministry, you may do so on the Facebook page.
Leaning into local radio, 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
This message has been bought and paid for by Meredith Heckman for County Clerk. conservative voices that are not being represented in Madison. You deserve elected officials who listen, share your values, and get results. I'm Scott Harbridge, running for State Assembly in the 74th District to return our government to we the people. Poor leadership and broken promises at the state capitol are destroying our economy, driving inflation, and risking lives. I served 4 years in the Army with the 82nd and 509th Airborne and 26 years with the Department of Corrections. I know how to tackle tough challenges, and now I'm ready to serve you by taking on the establishment in Madison. I'm the only candidate in the race endorsed by Pro-Life Wisconsin. I'm pro-life, pro-law enforcement, and pro-freedom. I promise to always be honest and transparent. You'll never wonder where I stand. The fight between good and evil is black and white. Vote for me, Scott Harbridge, on August 13th in the Republican primary. I can't do this without your vote. Send me a patriot to Madison, and let's make America great again. Thank you. Paid for by Harbridge for 74th Assembly District.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer whenever I want?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. 94% of Sleep Number smart sleepers report better sleep. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, during our biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
Northwoods Community Credit Union encourages you to be a voter.
Be a voter. Voting is cool. Be a voter. It's the coolest thing to do.
As Election Day gets closer, be sure you're registered and know your polling location. Northwoods Community Credit Union in Park Falls and Ashland.
Be a voter. It's the coolest thing to do.
This message from Northwoods Community Credit Union, serving the community since 1953.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Nygaard.
Are you waking up in the morning with a sore jaw, headaches, ringing in your ears, all because you're grinding and clenching your teeth at night? That's exactly what was going on with me. I ended up going to a dentist, and he wants to charge over $600 for a night guard. That's when I found the Brooks Night Guard. You mold it at home to the top or bottom teeth. Other mouth guards go all the way to the back, which allows the back teeth to touch. This is where most of the grinding and clenching occurs. The Brooks Night Guard redirects the bite force away from the back teeth, reducing jaw pain while still protecting the teeth. This unique design is what makes Brooks Night Guard different from all other traditional grind guards. Order your Brooks Night Guard today and get 10% off plus free shipping. Go to BrooksNightGuard.com and enter the code.